Yeshaya Perek Chavov, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the 39th Shir in Yeshaya. We're now talking about the song at the end of days. The Geul has come, and by Yom Ahu, on that day, the Perek began, Yushar Hashir Hazeh, they'll sing this song, Be'eretz Yehuda, in the land of Yehuda. They're going to sing the following song, a song of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're going to look back and they're going to talk about how Klal Yisrael suffered through the tough times before the Geula came. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Navi says, Hashem, he asks Hashem, Rama Yarcha, when you raise your hand, Bal Yechazoyun, the Rishayim don't see it. They don't realize that their hand is raised and you punish them and they suffer and there are tragedies and calamities, but the Rishayim don't realize it's from Hashem. They just figure it's an accident. That's nature. It's a catastrophe, but they don't realize where it's coming from. Yechazu, but they should see. V'yevoshu, and then they'll be embarrassed when they see the kinas that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take the vengeance for the nation, for Klal Yisrael. Kina, as we've mentioned before, kina, jealousy, is when you can't tolerate the status quo. That finally you see somebody has something and you don't have it and it's on its base level of jealousy. You want it, he has it. But you're not happy with the way things are going and you don't feel you're being treated right and there's injustice being done. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the kinas the jealousy for Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael suffered enough and the Rishayim seem to be getting away with it. So there may have been Roma Yodcha, your hand has been uplifted, but Bal Yechazoyun, the Rishayim don't see that. Yechazu v'yevoshu, but they should see him be embarrassed when kinas when they see the vengeance, the jealousy you take for your nation, af esh tzorecha sochlein, and even the fire should consume your enemies. Your enemies are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the enemies of Klal Yisrael. But af esh tzorecha sochlein, your enemies should be consumed with the fire. The Malbim explains that he discussed before about it seems the Rishayim suffer and the Tzaddikim suffer and the Rishayim seem to have a good life and they have an easy Olam Hazeh. And he mentioned how we understand sometimes that Tzaddikim suffer for whatever reason. But in Pasuk Yud, the Navi said, Yuchan Rasha, the way the Malbim understands it from the previous Pasuk, Yuchan Rasha, why do you show favor to the Rasha? When you show favor, when you show chayn is favor, meaning it's not deserved, and somebody sometimes, v'chanosi yes asher ochon, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to understand my ways? You can't understand the ways of Hashem. Sometimes, v'chanosi yes asher ochon, I'll show favor to the one I show favor. Whether he deserves it or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his reasons. V'noach motza chayn be'enei Hashem, the Mefarshim talk about, he found favor that as great as Noach was, there was a special chayn that he received even if he didn't deserve it. How do you find favor? How do you be mitzah chayn v'seichel tov ve'enei Elokim v'odom? How a person is zoche to find favor is a different discussion, but there are certain midos, certain ways that a person can act that he's zoche to a special a favor. But Yuchan Rasha, show favor to the Rasha. If you do that, there's two problems. The first problem is Baal Lomad Tzedek. The Rasha himself is not going to learn to be righteous. Be'eretz Nechochos. And the second problem is, besides his own rishus, besides his own wickedness, he doesn't learn righteousness. Be'eretz Nechochos. And the land where people act in a straight, correct path. Ya'avil, he makes things crooked. The Rasha, besides his own personal actions, when he seems to be successful, it corrupts the whole society. Uval Yirageus Hashem, he shouldn't see the greatness of Hashem. He shouldn't experience the awesomeness of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. And if he acts wrong, therefore be punished. That was the Navi's previous pasuk. And now the way the Malbim understands, Yeshaya continues, Hashem, I understand why you do this. You wonder why I question it. On a certain extent, I'm davening. How come the Rishayim get away with it? Be'eretz Nechochos Ya'avil, and it corrupts others. But I know why. The reason is Hashem, because Rama Yodcha, if your hand is lifted up high, meaning the way the Malbim learns it, not that there's a punishment, but like Moro Mishpatecha Kenegdo, your judgment seems to be far away from him. Rama Yodcha, your hand is lifted up, meaning he doesn't get punished, is the way the Malbim learns. Rama Yodcha, when your hand is uplifted, Bal Yechezoyun. This way, the Rasha is not aware of Hashem. Meaning as follows. I'm just going to quote these few words in the Malbim. Yodati ki ish tshuva al zos. I know your answer. Why are the Rishayim successful? I know your answer. The answer is, shalachain ein Hashem mani shes Rasha takef. Hashem doesn't punish the Rasha immediately. Kedei shia makum li bechira. There should be room for free choice. Shim haya Hashem manish takef. If Hashem would punish the Rishayim, somebody does an Avera and there's a punishment, and you see justice in this world. If that was the case, hayu misyarim lasosra, they'd be afraid to do anything wrong. V'hayu muchrochim b'maseyim, and they'd be forced to do whatever they have to do. K'mo shekosuv, and there's a pasuk, asheri nasa piskom, Masei hara mehera. The judgment for evil is not done quickly. A guy does an avera and there's no immediate punishment. Al kein moli leiv b'nei ha'adam b'hem lasos ra. And therefore people feel they have the ability to do evil. A guy does an avera and he seems to get away with it. Therefore people are able to do an avera. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that a person should have a free choice. But if every time a guy did an avera, a bolt of lightning came down and struck him dead, you can be sure that nobody would do an avera. You know, it's high voltage. You make the wrong move. You're questioning. The truth is there is a balance. The question is, in other words, on one hand, the Rishoyim do seem to get away with it. Roma Yodcha, when you raise your hand, Bal Yechezoyun, you're doing it in order that they won't see. There should be an ability that they don't see the greatness of Hashem. And they should be able to go through life ignoring the truth. There's a Ramban that at the end of Parshas Bo, we referred to it a number of times, different pieces of it here and there. It's a long Ramban, but it's really such a fundamental belief in Yahadus, in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit. I'm just going to quote it. It's almost, when I learn it, he says it as a fundamental belief, that everyone has to believe it. And then on the other hand, it's so possible that we're not aware of it, and it's scary to know that we all have to have such a clear belief. But the Ramban says in the end of Parshas Bo, Umin hanisim hagedolim hamafursamim. We're approaching Pesach time. And he talks about the Nisim at the end of Parshas Bo of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And he says, from the great, well-publicized miracles, Odom Moda Benisim Hanistarim, you come to admit to the hidden miracles. You become, once you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can split the Yamsuf, split the sea, and he did all the 10 Makos, and you live it and you discuss it and you're aware of it, you start realizing, you know, the miracles, even if you don't realize it, they're also from Hashem, even the hidden miracles. Shehem Yisod HaTorah Kula. And the Ramban says that's the foundation of the whole Torah. And the truth is we don't think about it, but when you look at the Parshios, when you learn through the Torah, it becomes clear. The Torah tells you again and again, if you keep the Torah, the mitzvahs will be good. It doesn't promise you, it doesn't say clearly, Olam Haba in the Psukim. We know it and it's referenced and there are remos and there are hints to it, but clearly the Torah doesn't give you, you know, the Gemara has an expression, Harotza L'Shaker Yarchik Eidov. If you want to be a liar, say your witnesses are far away. You know, a guy says, sure, you know, whatever I said, I have witnesses, they're in China. So of course you can't find the witnesses, so I can say whatever I want, and I'll tell you, I guarantee you there are witnesses, they're just not around here. So the same idea, the Torah, you know, you can promise everyone the world to come, every religion can promise that, because there's nobody to prove it, whether there is or there isn't. There are proofs and there are rational reasons to understand why there must be an Olam Haba. But when the Torah gives proofs, it gives proofs in this world. And he says to believe in the hidden miracles is Yisod HaTorah Kula. It's the foundation of the whole Torah. She'ein la'odam chelek b'Torahs Moshe Rabbeinu. A person doesn't have a share in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, to have a connection with Torah, ad she'namin b'chol devarenu mikrenu, until we believe that everything that happens to us, she'kulam nisim, they're all nisim. Or do you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and He knows and He's guiding and He's controlling the world, and therefore the way your actions are is going to determine what will happen to you on a spiritual level? That whatever you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching, and therefore it's going to affect your life. So your whole life is nisim. Ein bohem teva umin hogel shel olam. Whatever involves us, there is no such thing as nature. There's no such thing as a natural course of events. Bein barabim, bein biyochid. Whether you're dealing with the rabim, the community, the nation, or for every individual, there's hashkocha protis. Elim yasa hamitzvos yatzlichenu scharo. If a person does the mitzvos, his reward will make him successful. V'im yavar aleihem yachrisenu onsho. And if he does an aveira, the punishment will cut him off. There's a punishment. Hakol bigzeras elyon kasher hisgarti kvar. And then he continues to say that when you have a rabbin that does something, then the miracles become, the whole world becomes aware of it. In other words, if all of Eretz Yisrael will keep the mitzvahs, you'll see that everybody will be successful, even at going through a Shemitah year, where they're not planting, but you'll see there'll be an abundance, it'll become a wonder to the world. And likewise, when the whole community does Aveiros, so then there's a punishment, there's a churban, and the world says, Amen, Asa Hashem, Kocha La'aretz Hazos, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring such a punishment? So on a communal level, it becomes more noticed. But on a personal level, the truth is, a person has to believe, and we see it. The truth is, we see it. You know, there are studies. I saw a study somewhere that people who go to shul on a regular basis live longer. They made a study of senior citizens. They saw study those who go to synagogue and those who don't. It was a regular scientific study, and they came out that those who went to shul live longer. Now, the truth is there are many reasons for that. They will tell you probably the social network, and he has support from the other congregants. I would think that the fact that probably he davens every day has to do with it, and the chesed that he does, that he helps make the minyan, and the fact that he puts money in the pushka whenever he comes, and whatever, there's a lot into it. But whatever it is, the facts are, if somebody goes to shul, he'll live longer. That's a scientific fact. Of course, they don't publicize that, but it happens to be. I even read a study that prayer, even among non-Jews, they made a study of patients in the hospital, and they had certain people who they said, you know, pray for this patient, and for the other patient they didn't pray. This was a scientific study. And they came out, those that had somebody praying for them also had a better survival rate. They lived longer, and they said it's the survival rate was so significant, it was much better than a lot of, you know, they do the double blindfold tests, and they do placebos, and they have a whole way of studying it, and this was a clear, there was no question, and there was a large sample of people, it was a clear proof that those who had somebody praying for them lived longer. But since there was no scientific rationale, so, you know, the scientists don't, it's not bringing it down, because they don't understand it, doesn't make sense, so it's sort of, you know, disbanded. But the point the point of the Ramban is the normal approach is a guy has to know if he does an Aveira, there's a punishment. And if he does mitzvahs, it's good. And it's talking in this world. And yet at the same time, what the Navi is saying is you have to realize if you do the mitzvahs, it's good. And then sometimes, you know, there are bad things that happen to good people. And you're right, there is a certain, there are things that are done for Bechira. And there are people who do do Aveiras and they get away with it. They seem to get away with it in this world. And you're right, that's where Olam Haba comes in. But on the normal, there always has to be a choice as a balance. Hashem has to give us an opportunity of Bechira. There has to be free will. There all has to be a person who can say that you do the mitzvahs, you're wasting your time, and there's no benefit, and if you do the Averis, you'll be happy and successful. There has to be an opportunity to say that. But the general approach is, if you do the mitzvahs, it's good in this world. You do the Averis, it's bad in this world. So the Navi Yeshaya says, Hashem, Rama Yodcha, you raise your hand. And I know why you raise your hand, that there's no punishment. That's Bal Yechazoyim. Because you don't want the Rishoyim to see. You don't want them to be aware of Hashem. You want there to be Bechira. A person should be able to choose what he feels he should do. But Yechazu, V'yevoshu. But Yeshaya says, but let them see and be embarrassed from their Averos. Kinas Om. First of all, because of the jealousy for your nation. How can you tolerate that Klal Yisrael is suffering? This is the song they're going to sing at the end of days, that Klal Yisrael has gone through such a galus. You know, we want to have Bechir out there in the world. But, you know, we sort of feel we're suffering because of that. To allow them to have Bechir. But what about the Kinasam? The vengeance for your nation. And Af Esh Tzorecha. And the fire of your enemies, they're the ones making the fire. There's a lot of times where the Rishoyim do things that should cause their own destruction. And yet somehow, a Kodesh Baruch lets them get away with it. But if they're destroying their world, they should be sort of caught up in their own inferno. You know, if they're the arsonist who puts the building on fire, they should burn in that fire. Af Esh Tzorecha, the fire of your enemies, Sochlim should consume them. Why do you allow, and for the benefit of Bechira, to protect them from their own fire? That's what the Navi says. Let them see the Kinas Om, Af Esh Tzorecha Sochlim. And the fire of your own enemies, their fire, Sochlim should consume them. That's in terms of the Rishoyim. And in terms of the Tzadikim, those of Klal Yisrael who have gone through the Golus, Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem, Tishbos Shalom Lanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should arrange peace for us. Ki Gam Kol Ma'aseinu Po'alto Lanu, because all of our actions, Po'alto Lanu, you've done for us, which could mean all of our actions when we did mitzvahs, you gave us a reward, but when we've done Averus, we've suffered. Ki gam kol ma'aseinu, whatever actions we've done that have been wrong, po'alta lanu, you paid us back, Klal Yisrael suffered. So we've suffered for Averus. Now's the time that tishbos shalom lanu. You should arrange peace for us. And Klal Yisrael should finally have the peace, and the suffering should end. It's just a beautiful thought. This Gemara of Hashem Tishbos Shalom Lanu. The Gemara discusses different things if you see in the dream. Sometimes the Gemara has many opinions on dreams. Sometimes dreams, the Gemara says, is hevel. It means nothing. There's nothing to it. Sometimes the Gemara says a dream is what you thought about during the day. Whatever you think about during the day becomes a dream at night. On the other hand, the Gemara says sometimes a dream can be a nevuah kitana, like a little prophecy. That we don't have prophecy nowadays, a guy becomes a Navi. But sometimes he's shown something in a dream, what will be? And sometimes the Gemara says, the dream, let's say a guy has a scary dream. It doesn't mean something bad is going to happen. the punishment was that he had a nightmare. That was the punishment. Not that there's going to be more punishments. Sometimes the punishment of the reward is the dream itself. A guy has a good dream, that's a reward. It's a good feeling, you know. For a few hours, he thought that things were great. That could be. So there are many, many opinions about what a dream is. But it mentions there are three things that are a sign of peace. If a guy has a dream about a river, a kettle, and a bird. I mentioned there's a famous book by Rav Aaron Feldman on it's a book on marriage on Shalom Bayis, but it's called The River, the Kettle, and the Bird. And the pasuk the Gemara brings that you see a kettle is a sign of peace is this pasuk: Hashem tishpos shalom lanu shfisa. When here it's in the context we translate Hashem should arrange peace for us. But tishpos is the term when you put a pot on the fire, you put it where it belongs, that's called shvisas hakadeira. It means to place the pot in the right place. Tishpos shalom lanu means like a pot that goes on the fire, you should give us peace. And he mentions over there there's different levels of peace. There can be the peace like the river, that you know you have two cities and they're separate. They really don't, each city is independent. And they use the river to transport commodities and they ship items from one city to another. You know, the husband has his life and the wife has her life and they communicate and they deal with whatever they have to deal with each other. And they don't have friction and that's like the lowest level. That's peace. But they each have really their own life. Then there's the level of Hashem Tishpos Shalom Lanu. We should have a peace like the kettle. The advantage of a kettle is you take something, you can't, if you have food, you can't, just soaking it in water is not going to cook a piece of meat. And if you put it on the fire without water, depending on what you're making, sometimes it burns. Now, if you take a kettle, you can take two opposites, like fire and water. Now, fire and water themselves can't coexist, and they can't create or do anything together. But once you have a kettle, the fire and the water together are able to accomplish things. They can cook, they can do things. See, you take the husband and the wife, that are two separate things, and there's a piece of a kettle, where together there's something that the fire can't do and the water can't do, but when you have a kettle, the fire and the water together can do great things. See, how the husband can't have a family by as an individual, and the wife can't, and together they are able to have children, and they can, each one has their role in the family, the father and the mother, together like the kettle, they're able to have peace. And then there's a third level, that's the bird. The bird lives here on this earth, he walks around, and he's affected by the fact he has wings. He walks differently than if he didn't have wings. But a bird has wings, and yet he walks on the ground. And the same bird has legs, and he flies in the air, but they have different functions. He can walk on the ground, he can fly in the air, but he can do both. There's a level of peace in the family that there's the feet, there's the wings, and the husband and wife are different. One can be, you can, like, you can fly and you can walk, and they're two different things, but it's one organism. It's not even like two separate things that are working together with the kettle. It becomes one organism. That the husband and wife, the way he goes about his life, is affected by the fact that he has a wife. And the fact she goes around her life is affected by the husband. And together, they're able to walk, and they're able to fly, and they're able to, together, as one entity, become both. But this is the pasuk, Hashem tishpos shalom lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should give us, arrange peace for us, for Klal Yisrael. But that word shfisa is the term like used by a kettle. Arrange peace for us. Place the peace like you put a kettle on the fire. So if somebody sees a kettle in a dream, it's a sign of peace. As this pasuk says, Hashem tishpos shalom lanu. Ki gam kol ma'aseinu, because all of our actions, po'alta lanu, you've done for us whatever actions have warranted a punishment we've received. So now, Klal Yisrael, we should have peace. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, Be'olunu Adonim Zulosecha. Be'olunu is from the term Baal, somebody who possesses something, who owns something, who controls. De'alunu, we've been ruled over, we've been possessed by Adonim, lords, Zulasecha, besides you. Klal Yisrael should be completely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there should be no other rulers or governments controlling Klal Yisrael. We should be free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet there have been other nations of the world that have controlled us and taken over. Be'alunu Adonim Zulasecha. There have been lords besides you that have ruled over us. And they've tried to get us. The Malbim learned Zulasech Be'alunu Adonim. The lords took over in Zulasecha. They tried to make us serve something and someone and an entity. Zulasecha besides you. The nations of the world have been out to break our devotion to Hashem, that we shouldn't serve you. But levad b'cha, only in you, nazkir shemecha, do we mention your name. Your name of Elohim, the God, we know is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Levad b'cha nazkir shemenu. And whatever they is, nazkir shemecha, we mention your name, and we attribute it only to you. We don't use the name of Hashem to any other force or being. And that's the zchus v'klal Yisrael. So therefore it's fit that you should give us peace, tishpo shon l'omanu, because l'maisa, our averus have been punished, and klal Yisrael has that emuna that we've talked about before, that Klal Yisrael has kept their emuna and their belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the centuries, through the long galus, and levad b'cha nazkir shemecha. We only mention your name as being your name. We accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meisim bal yichyu. And we think to ourselves, you know, Meisim, those dead people, the Rishoyim, we don't serve them, we don't believe in them. Meisim, they're like they're dead. They're dead people. Bal yichyu, who aren't going to live. Refoyim. Refoyim is the dead person after he's put in the grave. Meisim is usually when he's first dead, when he has his moment of death. And then he's refoyim, means the dead bodies that are in the grave. It's related to the word ripa, to be weak, because obviously the person in the grave has no power at all. He's helpless. Refoyim, also meaning the dead, bal yakumu, they won't arise. Or they're lying in the grave and they're never going to have a tchias hameisim, and that's, they're finished. Refoyim bal yakumu, those refoyim are never going to get up. L'chein pokarata. Therefore you punished, v'tashmidem, and you destroyed them, v'ta'abe kol zecher lomo. And you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eradicated any memory of them. And this is our thoughts of the Rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to destroy the Rishoyim. And Rashi mentions, it's going on, halo pakarat aleim kvar, you've remembered to punish the Rishoyim, as you said, kimachu emche zecher amalek, I'll wipe out the remembrance of Amalek. And that's the outlook that Klal Yisrael has on all the Rishoyim, on Amalek and all the rest. The Alamaisa, they're all going to be dead, they're never going to arise, and they'll be finished, they'll get their punishment, you remember them and you destroy them. But ta'abe kol zecher lomo, and you wiped out all remembrance of them. The Malbim also learns this as part of what Klal Yisrael is asking, that we've gone through so much suffering. In Meisim, the dead, bal yichyu, is it proper that they shouldn't arise to tchias ha-Meisim? What about all those of Klal Yisrael who were killed al kiddush Hashem and they died through the goyim? Bal yichyu, they're not going to live. They're going to be dead forever. Refoyim bal yakumu, those lying in the grave, they're not going to get up. How could that be? Lochein, because pokarata v'tashmidem, you've remembered them and destroyed them. V'ta'abed kol zecher lomo, and it seems that they're totally forgotten. They're long forgotten. They've been died, and it's been centuries that they were killed, and we haven't yet seen the reward for what they went through. And therefore the Navi is saying, Klal Yisrael deserves the reward. Yosafta lagoy Hashem. You've added to the nation. One way of understanding it is, Yosafta lagoy Hashem. You've added suffering to Klal Yisrael, time after time. And Yosafta lagoy, you've added again to the nation. And how did Klal Yisrael react? Nichborata. They've honored you. That Klal Yisrael, when they suffer, they continue to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Richakta kol katz ve'aretz. You've made them distant to the edge of the earth. They're exiled and they're scattered all over. And it's gotten that difficult, the exile, that we're scattered and we wander from place to place, and yet Klal Yisrael remains faithful. Hashem, batzar pikaducha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they remember you, batzar, in their suffering. Tzakun lachash, they pour out. Like yitzika means to pour. Tzakun lachash, they pour out their whispered prayers. Musar cholomo, and your musar, your punishment comes to them, but their reaction is to daven. That's Klal Yisrael. Other ways of learning is, Yosafta lagoy, as a question, comparing Klal Yisrael and the nations. And it says, the Malbim says, look at the difference between the Jews and the Goyim. Yosafta lagoy Hashem, when you've added to the nations, Hashem. Yosafta lagoy, you've added to the nations, meaning the nations of the world. You've added again. More and more, you give the Goyim such a wealth and a success. Nichborata, as a question. Do they honor you? When the nations of the world have it good, do they honor you? Richakta kol katz ve'aretz. What happened was, all of those, the greater the Goyim became, richakta kol katz ve'aretz, to the ends of the earth, they distance themselves from you and they serve their own idols, which the idea basically in an idol is, it's, you see it strongest in Greek mythology, but the truth is all other avodah zarahs of the world are that way. But the greatest example of that, this is Greek mythology, that basically they believed and they served whatever they wanted to do. If a person had a nature that he was a man of war and he used to love to fight, so there's a god of war, meaning there's something that's a higher force, that's the ideal to imagine, to worship it, a guy who's not a weakling and somebody who can fight, and there's a power that represents that ability, and he worships the god of war, that's the type of person he is, and that's the success he hopes for. And you have another guy who's a, you know, a peace-loving type of guy who wouldn't fight and wouldn't speak to anybody and he wouldn't stop even the evildoers. He just wants to live and let live and just, you know, let me be alone and enjoy myself and, you know, everyone can do whatever they want as long as it doesn't disturb me. And he believes there's a God of peace. Chas v'shalom. That there's a power out there of the person that is not ruffled and nothing perturbs him and nothing bothers him, and as long as things are good and he has peace, you know, that's it. He doesn't care what anyone does as long as they leave him alone and he has a good life. And therefore, whatever a person wants, they made a god for. But the truth is that in general, it's with other religions also. Obviously not, they make a religion based on what they want. You know, there's some people have a nature more that they enjoy the grueling, the almost you'd say the suffering, like the guy who runs the marathon and he has just such a feeling that, you know, it was tough and it was a struggle. And there's a feeling of success, like you did it. And there are some people who set up a religion that has asceticism and they deny themselves any benefit of the world and they, you know, they'll kill themselves for their avodah zarah, whatever a person's nature is, that people that believe that that's the way they worship, and there's a good feeling, you know, the guy slashes himself and he body pierces himself and they do all these types of things that, you know, hurt themselves, but there's a feeling like, wow, they're able to do it and they're able to serve their God. But it's a feeling of, that's the way they want to feel that they're able to do it. And they make a god in terms of what they want to do. And of course you have the religions that just say, you know, if you believe in whatever you believe, that's good enough. You don't have to do anything. It's a very easy religion. A guy who wants to have an easy life, there's a religion for that. So the truth is all the religions have the, you know, they set up their idols the way they want. But Yosafta L'Goy Hashem, the greatest, the more you add to the nations of the world, Yosafta L'Goy, you add to the nations, Nichbodetah, do they honor you for that? Richakta Kokatz Ve'aretz, the ends of the earth are distanced from you. All over the world, when the Goyim have it good, they turn to their Avodah Zarahs, and they don't realize the one power, the one force that controls the whole world. The way Rashi learns, Yosafta L'Goy Hashem, to Klal Yisrael, you've added Torah and greatness and honor. And the more you give to Klal Yisrael, Yosafta L'Goy Nichbodetah, the more you add of goodness and success to Klal Yisrael, they honor you. They honor you when things are good, and we'll see in a moment they honor you when things are bad. But whatever you do with Klal Yisrael, everything they attribute to Hashem, Yosafta L'Goy Hashem, you've added to the nation Klal Yisrael. Yosafta L'Goy, you've added to the nation of Klal Yisrael Nichbodeta, and you've been honored as a result. Richakta Kokatz Ve'aretz. And they may be distanced to the ends of the earth, but when it's good, they honor you. And Hashem batzar pikoducha. And Hashem batzar, when there's the suffering, pikoducha, and their trouble, they also remember you. Tzokun lachash. They pour out their silent tefillah. Musar cholomo. When you give your musar, your rebuke to Klal Yisrael, the reaction is that they daven. So whatever you do for them, when things are good, Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is tremendous, Siyata Dishmaya, things are mamish, gavaldik, you know, Hodu Hashem Ki Toiv, and the first thing before, I like to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever the simcha is. That's the way Klal Yisrael is. And when things are troubled, so then they daven. They say Tehillim and they daven. Whatever happens to them, they're guided, they're directed to Hashem. Kmo hara. But Klal Yisrael, we've been like that woman who's pregnant. Takriv lo ledes. And she's approaching, getting closer to giving birth. Tochiel. And then all of a sudden she goes through the trembling of the shaking before, as the big first labor pains, tizak b'chavaleha, and then she starts to cry out in her labor pains. Kein ha'yinu miponecho Hashem. So too, we were before you, Hashem. Again, discussing how we were in Golis. Rashi says, Klal Yisrael sees more tsoros and more suffering coming. Usvurim anu. Rashi says, we think, Sheheimine Simone Yeshua Geula. These are the different signs that the Yeshua and the Geula is going to come. When things get bad, Klal Yisrael says, "Oh, Mashiach's almost here." No, it's because the Fishanu move Tochim. Rashi says because we're promised Ligoil Mitoch Tzuka Vitzora, that the Geula will come from the suffering, Kayoleda Zu, like the woman who's giving birth. Sheheimine Simone Yeshua Ugula, meaning the different signs of salvation and redemption. A woman who's giving birth, as painful as it is, she has mixed emotions. There's the pain and the suffering, and she can't take it, and she's at the breaking point. And yet, at the other hand, she knows if she just a little bit longer, Emir Tashem, she'll have a baby. She'll have something. There's something about to come out. It's something happy. Something good is about to happen. And so till Klal Yisrael goes through Golus, and they go through the suffering Kamo Hara, like this pregnant woman, and it's getting closer and closer, and they keep on thinking the Geul is about to come. Harinu. And so too, we, Klal Yisrael, Harinu, it's like we became pregnant. That's one stage. It's discomfort, it's uncomfortable. And chalnu. And then we started to have the labor pains, kamo yaladnu ruach. But you know, when we're going through Golis, it seems to us, kamo yaladnu ruach, like we gave birth to air, to nothing. Imagine a woman, as the Pasuk says, which is a tremendous tragedy, the Gemara says, like the woman who goes through the childbirth, and the baby comes out and it's a stillborn, or it's nothing. And she went through the labor pains and there's nothing to comfort herself. She went through all of that, and now what? Nothing. And it's so depressing and creates such an emotional turmoil. Like, what did she go through all of this for? And that's, Klal Yisrael says, that's the way we've felt in Golis. We're like that pregnant woman. Harinu, Chalnu, and Kamo Yiladnu Ruach. But what came out? There's no Geula yet. Yeshuos Bal Nasa Eretz. There haven't been the salvations on the earth. Oval Yiplu Yoshve Sevel. And those that dwell on the Tevel, the civilized world, those that are in control, all those Goyim that caused the Churbanos, they haven't fallen yet. You haven't toppled them over. Uval Yiplu Yoshve Sevel. So the Rishayim are still have the upper hand, and we're going through the suffering, and yet we haven't seen the Yeshua yet. Others learn Uval Yiplu means like we haven't seen the miracles. V'niflinu aniva amcha, Klal Yisrael will be treated differently than the nations of the world. But we haven't seen that. Uval Yiplu Yoshve Sevel. We haven't seen any miracles here. Yichyu Meisecha. So the Novi davens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yichyu Meisecha, your dead should live. Nevelo Si Yekumun, and my dead bodies, the dead bodies of Klal Yisrael, the Nevelos, which we'll get to in a minute, the word Nevela is a derogatory term. Nevela is like an animal that collapsed and is dead. But a Nevela is a derogatory term to be called, to call a person a nevela. A nevela is usually a dead animal. But that's what the Pasuk says. Yichyu meisecha. May your dead come to life. Nevela si yikumun. My corpses should arise. As Rashi says, when mispalel, he said before, meisim bal yichyu and Pasuk yudalid. There are different ways. All these psukim are understood sometimes on some of Forshim learn it's going on Klal Yisrael, some learn it's going on the Goyim, on the Rishayim, but we have this concept that there are Mesim who don't live. Refoim, there are those in the grave who won't get up. But for Klal Yisrael, Yichyu Meisecha, your dead should live. Nevela Siyakumun, my corpses should get up. Hakitsu, wake up. Verananu, and sing forth. Shochneo, for those that dwell in the dirt. Kital Oros Talecha. Because like the dew, oros, that go on the vegetation. Sometimes you have the grass that seems to be dying out under the blistering summer sun. And then, yeah, the guy puts on a sprinkler or it rains. And all of a sudden, the wetness seems to bring the grass back to life. But kital oros talecha, the vegetation that seems to come to life with the dew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's your dew. There'll be a certain Tal, whatever this means, there'll be a certain hashpo will come down from heavens at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, like the dew that rests on the earth, and it'll come to life. Kital Oros Talacha, your dew is like the dew that falls on the Oros, on the vegetation. Va'aretz Refoim Tapil. Va'aretz, into the land, Refoim Tapil, the wicked should be cast, they'll be thrown to the ground. Or k'min ve'eretz refoim, the land where the dead are, tapil will throw out those dead bodies. There's a fascinating Gemara. One of the beauties in the Torah is you never know, if those learning Gemara, you never know like how the Gemara gets into a certain sugya when you're learning a certain topic. So if somebody were to say, where do you think the Gemara discusses Eretz Yisrael? The greatness of Eretz Yisrael, which Gemara would discuss that? And you're thinking through Shas, which Gemara would talk about how great Eretz Yisrael is? The answer is the end of the Gemara in Kesuvos. Why does Kesuvos? Kesuvos has to do with husband and wife, with marriage. Why does it have to do with Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is that the Mishnah says that the general rule is when there's a marriage that doesn't work out, if there's a divorce, so if the husband is at fault, he has to pay a ksuva. If the wife is at fault, so he just divorces her and that's it. She doesn't get a ksuva, she's the one who disrupted the marriage. So the Gemara discusses, Hakol malim le'eretz Yisrael vein hakol motziim. When you have a couple, the husband and wife, either one, if they're both happy to stay in Chutz La'aretz, they can stay in Chutz La'aretz. But if one member in the family decides he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, or she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the spouse doesn't agree, the recalcitrant spouse is the one who's ruining the marriage, because to move to Eretz Yisrael is a step up, and therefore the one who doesn't go along with it is the one who's considered to blame for ruining the marriage. So when the Gemara wants, so as a result, this Gemara in Ksuvas gets into a discussion about the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. By the way, if for those that have a couples contemplating moving to Eretz Yisrael, there is a very important, that should be discussed with the Rav. There's a Tosis that discusses it here in Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Tosis says, Einu noig bizman azeh. This doesn't apply nowadays. And Tosis gives gives a reason. Deika sakonas derochim. It's a sakana to travel to Eretz Yisrael. When he wrote this in the times of the Rishonim, he said it's a beautiful thing to move to Eretz Yisrael. But now, if somebody would say he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, there's a danger. The roads are dangerous, and the spouse can always say he or she doesn't want to go. It's too dangerous. That's one reason Tosfos says. V'hoi omer Rabbeinu Chaim de'achshav einu mitzvah lo du be'Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, it's not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ki yesh kama mitzvahs atluyos ba'aretz. Because there are many mitzvahs that are dependent on Eretz Yisrael. V'kama onshim, and there are punishments if you don't live properly in Eretz Yisrael, if you don't keep those mitzvahs. De'ein onu yecholim lizor b'hem v'lamud aleihem. It's very difficult. A person can say, in Chutz La'aretz, I'm managing. If you don't know what to eat in Chutz La'aretz, you just take a fruit, go into the fruit store and eat a fruit. That's the safest thing. You don't have to worry about the hechsher. You go to Eretz Yisrael, that could be the worst move because the fruits are only trumas and maestros. Just as a simple thing, but it's a lot more. In Eretz Yisrael, there are mitzvahs that are dependent on the land, and a spouse can say, he doesn't feel it's a gain to go to Eretz Yisrael. He feels he won't be able to live the way he has to. But putting that aside, what involves us here in Yeshaya, the Gemara has a discussion about living in Eretz Yisrael, has a discussion about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and there are different statements. But what involves us here, the Gemara says on Kuf Yid Aleph, Amud Aleph, Amra Belozer, Mesim Shebechutz La'aretz Einam Chayim. The dead in Chutz La'aretz don't live. They won't live by Tchias HaMesim. And he brings a pasuk. So Masiv Rav Abba Bar Mamol. So he asked, what do you mean? It says over here, Yichyu Meisecha, your dead should live. And then there's another term, Nevelosi Yikumun, the next words. The corpses should get up. And a Nevel, again, is those on a lower level, a corpse. That's lower. But they also get up. Yichyu Meisecha means the Mesim Sheberetz Yisrael. Your dead, the Meisecha, on the highest level, is those buried in Eretz Yisrael will get up. And those who are in Avelosi, those who are in Chutz La'aretz, the corpses, they'll also get up. How can you say those in Chutz La'aretz won't get up? And the Gemara again has a discussion. The Gemara mentions the idea that the Mesim and Chutz La'aretz come through Gilgul, Mechilos, there's like tunnels, that at the time of Tchias HaMesim, they'll all under the ground be brought to Eretz Yisrael, and then they'll arise. And some Mefarshim say that's why it's called Nevelosi, a corpse. Because whatever this means, but the difficulty in traveling to Eretz Yisrael takes its toll on the body of the Nifter. Again, these concepts, what exactly it means is hard to know. But this our pasuk here, Yichyu Meisecha, which again is a source for Tchias HaMesim. The pasuk says clearly that those that are dead will again arise. Yichyu Meisecha, your dead will live. Nevelosi Yakum, when the corpses will get up. There's another Gemara on Amud Beis and Ksuvus Kuf Yud Alef Amud Beis. It says like this: Amar Rav Elazar, Ami Haaretzus Einon Chayim. And Am Haaretz, somebody who's not connected to Torah. The Gemara has elsewhere discussion what classifies somebody as an Am Haaretz. But if he's in that category, he doesn't live by Tchias HaMeisim. Shenemar Meisim Bal Yichyu. With that pasuk we had earlier in pasuk Yud Dalid, the Meisim won't live. Tani Ami Hochi, there's a Braisa. Meisim Bal Yichyu, the dead won't live. Yochel HaKol, what, you think nobody's going to live? How could that be? Tamalomer Refoim Bal Yakumu. That pasuk we had earlier. Refoim, those that are in the grave in pasuk Yud Dalid, they won't arise. But it's only Refoim, those that are weak. B'merapa atzmo midivrei Torah akosu medaber. It's talking about people who are weak and they're not strong with their learning of Torah. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, Lo nichol marayu da'amrit ha lehu hachi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like that you said that. Their master doesn't like your drasha. You made a drasha. The Amei Aretz won't have Tchias HaMeisim. Hashem doesn't like that drasha. What it means is, Ahu b'merapei atzmo l'avodas kochovim. It means if a guy loosens his connection to Torah and he worships idols, that's what Refoi means. Not a guy who doesn't learn Torah. It means somebody who loosens his bond to the Torah and he worships idols. Amar lei. So Rabbi Elazar persisted, and he said, this is not the only pasuk. Mikra acher ani dorish. I have another pasuk. And he mentions the pasuk we're learning right now. Dechsiv kital oros. The dew. We translated oros as the vegetation. The dew that falls on the vegetation. But the Gemara also understands oros like the word or. The light. The illumination. Kital oros talecha. Your dew is like the dew of light. The Eretz Refoim Tapio. What does this mean? Kol HaMishtamish Bo'or Torah. Somebody who uses the light of Torah, and he's involved, and he has Torah in him, or Torah Mechayeyu. So that light of Torah will give him Tchias HaMeisim. V'chol She'ein Mishtamish Bo'or Torah. Somebody who doesn't use the light of Torah, ain't or Torah Mechayeyu. So the light of the Torah doesn't give him light. That was his Darasha. Kital Oros, the dew of light. The light of Torah is the dew that's going to bring Tchias HaMeisim. Kiva Dechazi Etekom Mitzdair. So Rav Elazar had this drasha. But he saw that Rabbi Yochanan didn't like this drasha. Rabbi Yochanan kept on saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like this kind of drasha. L'maisa, all of Klal Yisrael can have Tchias HaMeisim, even if they don't have knowledge of Torah. Amarle, he said to him, Rebbe, Motzasi Lehen Takonim Min HaTorah. I found them a basis in the Torah that an Am Haaretz can have Tchias HaMeisim. Va'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You who are clinging to Hashem, your God, chayim kulchem hayom. You're all alive today. Meaning anyone who's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will live. V'chiyev shalidvok b'shchina. How can a person be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'oksiv ki Hashem Elokecha eish ochlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a fire that consumes. You can't be connected to Hashem. But the Gemara answers, Elakol ha-masi bito le-talmud chacham. Anybody who marries his daughter to a talmud chacham, va'osa pragmatia le-talmud chachamim, or he does business for talmud chachamim. As Rashi explains, the talmud chacham has the money, in this case, but he needs somebody to manage it. So a guy becomes the financial manager, whatever, he handles the assets of the Talmud Chacham. So the Talmud Chacham sits and learns, and this person takes care of the pragmati, does business. Talmud Chacham gives the merchandise, and the guy sells it, and he gives that benefit. Or if he benefits the Talmud Chacham from his possessions, the pasuk considers it, you have to cling to Hashem. That's not possible in the literal sense. HaKadosh Baruch, you can't be connected to Hashem, but if you're connected to a Talmud Chacham, that's the same thing. And therefore, but the Gemara comes out, the Marsha explains, there's three examples. He can be connected in a physical sense. If he marries his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, there's the physical connection of husband and wife, and he's the father-in-law, he's also in that marriage. So he's connected to the Talmud Chacham. Or there's the monetary one. He's Mahana Talmud Chacham from his property. He gives the Talmud Chacham. And then there's the intellectual, that you think of ideas to help the Talmud Chacham out. You handle his business. You are Oisa Pragmatia, Marsha says. But the Gemara comes out that it's something we should all keep in mind. It's, supporting yeshivas and to have a connection to Talmidei Chachamim. That's the key to Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Gemara learns it has to. That's the answer for all of us who don't know what we should know. But even if you be in the category of a Talmud Chacham, of an Amma Oretz, but Va'atim Hadveikim Vashem Elokeichem Chayim Kuchem Hayom. So the pasuk says, "Ki tal oros talecha." Your due is this tal oros, the tal either of light, meaning Torah, or the dew that falls on the vegetation, va'aretz refaim tapio, and the land will throw out those that have died, and they'll have tchias hameisim. Leich ami, but right now it's still in galus. Go, my nation, bo b'chadorecha, and come into your rooms. Uskor d'loscha ba'adecha, and close the door behind you. Chavi kimad rega, you have to go ahead and hide for a brief moment at Yavar Zom until the anger passes. Rashi says this is the answer to the Navi. We're suffering so much in Golos. You know what? Come into your rooms. Your rooms are the rooms of the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. Or come into your rooms means in the chamber of your heart. Think about your actions. Come into your inner rooms, the rooms inside your body, all those chambers, and contemplate what you should do. Uskor d'loscha ba'adecha. Close the door in front of you. Protect yourself. Protect yourself by doing mitzvahs and actions that will protect you. Or Rashi says, close your doors, meaning at least keep your mouth closed and don't complain. Don't question the ways of Hashem. Certain things we don't understand. Right now we're going through Golos. But chavi kimad rega, in the viewpoint of eternity, as long as the gullus is, hide for a moment. In terms of eternity, it really is just a brief time. Hide for a moment at Yavar Zom till the anger passes. Kinei Hashem yotze mimakomo, because the time is coming. Hashem is going forth from his place, lifkod avon yoshev haaretz, to bring punishment. To remember and act on the sins of those who live on the land, a love, and bring that punishment on him. The Rishoyim and those who have done wrong are going to get their punishment. Rashi says it's referring to Har Seir, which is the Golus we're under now, under Esav. And Hashem is going to come out from his place, meaning right now he's going to go from Midas HaRachamim, from Hashem, and there's going to be a point where it's going to be the final punishment for those who have done wrong. He's going to leave his place, lifkod avon yoshev haaretz alav, that those who dwell in the land will get their punishment. Vegilsa haaretz estameha, and the blood that's been spilled and been absorbed and drenched in the earth will once again be revealed and be punished, and it won't be hidden, the crimes that have been done to Klal Yisrael. Lo sechase od al harugeha, and those that have been killed won't be covered up anymore, and the Rishonim will receive their punishment, and the Geula Shleimu will come in Heirav Yemenu. Amen. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.